Mr. Tuohy.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Timothy J. Tuohy, and I represent Willie Antoine Johnson, who is here on the issue relating to the imposition of his sentence. He pled guilty to a one-count indictment, and the district court, in violation of Willis, Dean, and Beeler, failed to make a searching inquiry of the different factual relevant conduct statements in the PSR. And most egregious, the district court shifted the burden to Mr. Johnson to disprove the truth of the PSR. There were 11 paragraphs of relevant conduct, five of which came from two witnesses who were government informants and had made deals with the government. And those five paragraphs lacked such detail that they were inherently unreliable just by looking at the allegation. And they were internally contradicted by the testimony from the FBI agent, by tapes that were introduced during the government's case, and by statements that were contradicted by Marshall himself. One example.
Mr. Tuohy, why aren't the tape recorded conversations between Mr. Marshall and Mr. Johnson and that the government cites in its brief enough to at least permit the inference that Mr. Johnson was playing a leadership role?
Well, there's only two conversations in which Mr. Johnson was involved. One was on January 9th, 02, in which the only conversation between Johnson and Mr. Marshall, Marshall is also short dog, in which Mr. Marshall calls the telephone. It's answered by Andre Enoch. They have a conversation about Enoch delivering crack cocaine. Then Marshall, the government informant, asks for Johnson, has a discussion with Johnson about some tires that Johnson's supposed to be holding for Marshall. There's no discussion between Marshall and Johnson or Enoch and Johnson concerning any cocaine or any crack or the delivery of any of that. And the district court, if you look at the adoption of the PSR, actually struck that portion of the conversation in which the probation officer said that the conversation in which there was a request for crack cocaine was between Marshall and Johnson. It was not. That was a conversation between Marshall and Enoch. Johnson had nothing to do with that.
So you're saying that the tapes don't bear out the government's assertion that Mr. Johnson admonished Bub about not talking during drug transactions, for example?
That's correct, and I cited that in our reply brief, and it's in there in the separate appendix. There's no admonishment. As a matter of fact, when Mr. Marshall called to complain, he didn't call Mr. Johnson. He called Percy Allen, who was working for Mr. Enoch and delivered the crack cocaine. And I think we point out in our reply brief make the point that when Mr. Marshall called Percy Allen to complain about Bub, who is Matravius Allen, that Percy Allen didn't even know who he was talking about. And if you look at the transcript on that, that verifies that. Two other points here, which are representative of what I believe the district court failed to do in conducting a searching inquiry and shifting the burden to Mr. Johnson. If you look at paragraphs 6, 7, and 8, Mr. Marshall tells the FBI that Johnson was running a drug distribution network since 1991. The next paragraph, he says, he also delivered me 360 kilograms of cocaine. And the next paragraph, he says, Mr. Johnson also delivered 240 pounds of marijuana to me. Nothing in the 18-month investigation shows any of that occurred. There was no indicia of dates, places, addresses, amounts, It was just a statement. He gave me 360 kilograms of cocaine. And the district judge had to reject that paragraph by Marshall because he said that doesn't make sense, that there would be 360 kilograms of cocaine being delivered to Mr. Johnson, and that wouldn't come up, or there wouldn't be some sort of proof that would verify that. And I guess the final point is the judge adopted these statements by Marshall and by Enoch. Neither of them testified because there was no trial, and neither of them produced any testimony that would create indicia of reliability. And I'm not saying the government has to call them as witnesses. I'm not saying that. I am saying that they have to show there's indicia of reliability, and that means that as sources and the statements they make have to be verifiable in some fashion. And with that was not done in this case. Instead, they put the burden on Mr. Johnson to prove a negative, that he didn't conduct a drug distribution operation from 1991 on or deliver 240 pounds of marijuana. So unless there's any questions, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Toohey. Mr. Bruce.
May it please the Court, Colin Bruce on behalf of the United States. We ask that you affirm the judgment and sentence in this case. Judge Roedner, in answer to your question, there absolutely is in the transcript, in the recorded conversations, indications from Mr. Johnson that he did admonish Matravius Allen, who's also Bub or Bubby Bub, not to talk to other people. And I'll direct the Court's attention to the supplemental appendix on pages 35 and 36. Now, granted, these people are not speaking in the Queen's English. You have to be able to interpret what they are saying. For instance, when they order up crack, he says, "I need a nymph of that dick." You have to know what that means.
Could you speak just a wee bit louder? I'm sorry.
Certainly. On pages 35...
Don't move the microphone. Don't move the microphone.
Don't move it.
Just raise your voice.
When on page 35 and 36, he goes through and he tells him... Marshall tells Johnson, look, I told Percy Allen, I'll interpret for it if you will, I told Percy Allen to that Matravius Allen was talking to somebody else. And Johnson goes on to say, yeah, I told him to. I got on him right away. I got right on him, man. Then he goes on through there using some very foul language. Then John says at one point, what made him even approach them cats like that, as in talking to the other people during the drug transaction? I don't even know, man. More stuff, more foul language, and it goes on and on. But the point is that Johnson acknowledges, look, I told Matravius Allen, expressing the ability to control or direct him, don't do that. If you're doing a drug transaction, don't do that again.
Is that the tape of June 29th that you're reading?
Yes, yes. If you look on page 36 of that, I mean, I can use the actual language. It might be easier. Top of page 36, Marshall says, that's what I'm saying. I know I shouldn't have to tell him that, referring to Matravius Allen. Don't talk to other people. Man, that nigger should have known better than that any motherfucking way. Right, that's what I'm saying. And I won't go through all the rest of that paragraph. And John says, yeah, he ought to know better. That's what I'm saying. And then more and more about that, where he indicates, yeah, I told him. That being Johnson said, I told him. On through about he's dirty, and don't dirty being he has crack or has cocaine with him, so you're dirty. You don't want to actually be talking to other people.
Mr. Bruce, the point was made that there's some inconsistency in who Johnson's alleged subordinates were. There's one set of subordinates that are identified in the PSR, and now you're relying on a different set of subordinates in your brief.
Well, there's one group of subordinates that encompasses the smaller group we're relying upon. The brief focused upon those people where there's actually transactions occurring. It is beyond doubt that Matravius Allen brought down a half a kilo of cocaine, powder cocaine, on June 20th. We've got recorded phone calls after that where Johnson acknowledges admonishing Matravius Allen about talking to Willie Stark during the deal. Then there's conversations where Marshall says, Johnson, hey, how much do I owe you for that? Oh, same as last time. You know, Johnson doesn't say, hey, I don't know what you're talking about. That wasn't Matravius Allen. He went down there on his own. Or, what are you talking about? I have no idea. He doesn't say that because he knows. Johnson sent Matravius Allen down with the crack. That enough alone is enough to support the enhancement. But it continues on. He says, you know, I'm going to give you, there's a subsequent conversation on June 29th. How are you going to get the money? Fine, I'll send Rell down or Terrell down to get the money. Marshall says, by the way, have him bring down my Sea-Doos, you know, little personal watercraft, little jet skis. So, okay, sure. Next thing you know, again, these are all, this isn't hearsay. This is stuff that actually occurred. Next thing that happens is Terrell shows up driving Johnson's van. They unload the Ski-Doos. In the middle of that, Marshall hands Johnson $5,000 in, or excuse me, Marshall hands Terrell $5,000 in cash to take back to Johnson. You don't see Terrell saying, whoa, hey, why are you giving me $5,000 in cash? Followed by, you know, I'll bring the rest of it up to him. I'll get the rest of it to him next week or so. Again, this is all in slang. You have to translate it, but that's what he says. There's no indication Terrell says, look, I'm just here to deliver Sea-Doos. Why are you giving me $5,000? Johnson sent him down there to get the $5,000 as down payment for the earlier cocaine delivery. That right there is sufficient to support it. Then you have the phone call back up where, granted, in early January, where, granted, most of the conversation between Marshall and Johnson in that call is about getting some tires. But then he says, yeah, I'm going to have to get online with you, as in I want to get some more cocaine, some crack, and we'll talk about it. Johnson doesn't say, no, I don't know what you're talking about, or, hey, that's really funny, I don't deal crack, I only deal tires. Next thing that happens after that, down comes Andre Enoch and Percy Allen with 9 ounces of crack. The same stuff he ordered. According to Andre Enoch, he got the cocaine from Johnson. So any one of those, supporting any one of those, supervising any of those four people would support the enhancement, whether it's Matravius Allen, Percy Allen, or Andre Enoch, any one of those, or Terrell, any one of those would support the two-level enhancement. You know, in essence, it comes down to, you could always put a different spin or a different interpretation. The district court's entitled to take a permissible view of the evidence. If it's permissible, and any one of those would support it, it can't be clearly erroneous, and therefore the defendant's argument fails. Unless the court has any further questions, I'll turn the balance of my time. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry I touched the microphone, Judge.
Thank you, Mr. Bruce. People all over the Internet who download our MP3 files will be complaining about the rust. Do not touch the microphone. About the sharp noises and the breaking of the speakers, or people will be, audiologists all over the country will be complaining about damage to their eardrums. Mr. Bruce, anything further?
No, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Toohey.
Thank you, Your Honor. if you will look at the supplemental appendix, it was Mr. Marshall who called up and said, I told Dick, and Dick is Percy Allen, and was making these complaints to Willie Johnson, and this is supplemental appendix 35, and Willie Johnson says, that's what I heard, man. We make the citations to the record on pages 10, 11, and the sequence in our reply brief, the actual transcripts. The thing that becomes important is the tapes alone, at most, would show that Johnson might be a seller. Johnson testified under oath that he provided the coke to Andre Enoch. Enoch cooked it. Now, Enoch later denied that, but that's what triggers the searching inquiry. And there's not enough to support an enhancement or finding that Mr. Johnson's an organizer on the tapes alone, because it just does not suggest that. It puts him perhaps in as a middleman supplying coke to Andre Enoch, who's the one that's cooking it and making the delivery with his subordinate, Percy Allen. And the district court could not have made that finding that Mr. Johnson was an organizer unless it adopted those unreliable statements, unsupported statements in the PSR from Mr. Enoch and from Mr. Marshall. In addition, you have Marshall, the testimony that he's giving or the statements he's giving to the FBI contradicting the tape. So that shows that there is no indicia of reliability, and I suggest that the failure to make a searching inquiry into the evidence in the PSR and submitted through or the source of which was Enoch and Marshall requires a remandment of this to the district court for findings on that. and I think this provides the court an opportunity to perhaps clarify the holding in Dean to explain what kind of scrutiny must evidence be subjected to before we find that it has probable accuracy? Shifting the burden of proof is necessarily has to be error, and in that this case should be reversed on those grounds alone. And the district court made that very clear on the record and in its ruling on my motion in limine. So unless you have any other questions, thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Toohey. And Mr. Toohey, we appreciate your willingness to accept the appointment and the assistance you've been both to your client and the court. Thank you.
Thank you.
The case is taken under advisement.